So a few months ago, I prayed a scary prayer. I prayed to God. I said, God, I want to be open to you. I don't want to put you in a box. I want to be open to you. So I'm going to just tell you guys right now, before you pray that prayer, be prepared. And think about what you're praying about. Amen? So what happened after I prayed that prayer? I lost my job. I became a substitute. I started working for Amazon Prime. And I was like, God, what did I pray? What did I say? What did I say wrong? Oh, nothing, David. You know how the saying goes, when you close one door, another one opens. But I didn't realize when you close one door, God will make you stand in the hallway. It may get a little chilly, but you got to still pray. You got to still keep relying on God. And then the door opens. So anyway, as I substituted, I was at one school, and I was like, as I subbed, you know, I'd be going to high schools, elementary, middle schools, and some schools were really cool. Like, I remember seeing going to Vance High School, going to some different middle schools and things like that. Middle schools are pretty tough. I actually enjoy high school and elementary. I don't know what's wrong with the middle school kids, but... You know, I got a job as a teacher in a middle school. Boy, God definitely has a sense of humor, doesn't he? But as I'm going to share with you guys today, I feel like God knew I needed this. God knew I needed to be in this school and that this was going to be my divine assignment. I didn't realize that. This job is stretching me, pulling me, and it's causing me to rely on God's Holy Spirit. But I'll get into that a little bit later. As we continue the theme of worship, I would like to focus on daily worship. My question for you guys today is, how can we worship God in the workplace, or for our teenagers at school, or for some of our stay-at-home moms and dad at home? Oh yeah, you guys work too. Let me tell you that right now. If you're working with some kids, you're working. Whether it's at school at home, school at school, amen. You know, the ancient Hebrews had a deep understanding of how faith and work came together. And this is good because as I've studied this out, I realized that, you know, really worship in the Old Testament was no different than work or actually serving. There was actually a Hebrew word. It's pronounced avodah. Can we say that together at a count of three? One, two, three. Avodah. I may not even be saying it right, but amen. But I'll spell it out for you so you can go and study it. It's A-V-O-D-A-H. What it simply meant was it was a joint meaning it comes together with worship, service, and work. If you think about it, you know, in the Old Testament, Genesis 2, verse 1, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it. It says, the Lord God took the man, that being Adam, put him in the Garden of Eden to work and to take care of it. So even this is very important to God. So to God, it's no different from work and worship. And that's what I'm learning, even with my own job. You know, as I close out, I have a question for you guys today. Are you in your divine assignment? Are you honoring God with your work? See, I personally, I'm in my divine assignment. See, I didn't know this was going to be my divine assignment. Two things I said I did when I want to be when I grow up was a minister and a teacher. And ha, 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 God said, I'm going to have you be both. For I don't know if many of you guys know, I was appointed evangelist in the early 2000s, and now I'm a teacher. Amen. And I'm currently an 8th and 9th grade science teacher. Can you believe that? And you guys know science is my best subject in high school, right? Wrong. God has a sense of humor. But I know I'm here for a purpose. But I'm here to tell you guys today that I need the Holy Spirit. Because I feel the insecurity of, you know, not knowing as much. My kids sometimes giggle at me. I say this word wrong, and I'm like, oh, great. You know, but God had to put me in a situation where I needed to rely on him. And he will do that for us. But are you in your divine assignment? Are you where God wants you? Are you where you feel comfortable at? Because whether you're at where God wants you or you're not, you feel like you're where you don't want to be, the bottom line is God is trying to prepare you for something being there. God wants to help each one of us walk into our greatness, but he can't do that if you just want to be comfortable. And I realize I don't like being stretched. I don't want to be uncomfortable. But God is like, no, you're going to be comfortable if you want to walk with me. But now I'm seeing that it's okay. God's saying, I was with my brothers and we were talking about, you know, we know God is God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We were like, okay, if it was a family, God would be the father, Jesus would be like the brother. And then we were trying to figure out what the Holy Spirit would be. And I was like, well, to me, it'd be like a cool uncle. I had a really cool uncle, Uncle Richard, you know what I mean? But anyway, I don't know how often I'm dialed into that Holy Spirit. I'm connecting to God daily by staying dialed into the Holy Spirit, and we need that. So as I close out with this scripture, Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, this is a powerful scripture. Actually, I stole it from Tim Kirk. I really didn't steal it from him because it comes from the Bible. But when we were, this was so good yesterday as we were sharing in our D group. It says in Romans chapter 8, at verse 10, it said, but if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. I don't know what your divine assignment is, and I don't know where you're at in your workplace today, but please allow God to move your heart by his Holy Spirit. And whether you're working at work, at school, or at home, allow God, dial into what God is trying to connect you with his Holy Spirit, and allow yourself to be stressed so God can help you walk into your greatness and you can worship him. Amen. Thank you guys for letting me share it.
Good morning. I'm a little nervous, so bear with me. One of the most things that makes me uncomfortable is silence. So if during this you want to scream and say loud, I love it. All right. So when Rodney sent me a text and said, hey, Steve, I want you to speak, I let that text linger there. Do you guys ever do that? Like you see it, but you're going to pretend you don't see it, and I let it linger there because I let all those thoughts that come to you, it's like, oh, they don't want to hear what you have to say. They don't really understand you anyway. Is that Creole? Is that Louisiana? Where's he from anyway? What's that accent? But then the Spirit, he spoke to me. And I don't know how the Spirit talks to you, but he talks to me like this. He said, boy, you ain't Moses. I ain't asking you to go to Pharaoh and free my people. Just speak for 15 minutes. Bonus point in this here message, just obey the Spirit and it'll lead you to good things, right? Amen? So we've been talking a lot about worship, and I'm going to piggyback on what David was talking about. But a few weeks ago in house church, we were talking about worship and all. What do we do with our hands? Right? What do we do with our hands? Right? And so I shared my personal story of how for so long I sat there and we'd get up here and sing, and this was my posture with my hands. I ain't going to clap my hands. I ain't going to stomp my feet. Gonna say the word, and I'm not gonna say amen. Or I stand there when the preacher talked, my arms like this. What you got to say today? As if I was guarding an armored truck, right? And I got this locked, and you're not getting in there. Spirit doesn't care about your crossed arms or your locked doors. I remember a story in the New Testament after Jesus' death. The disciples are upstairs, afraid, locked in a room, right? And then, bam, here comes Jesus, popping in. What you guys doing? You want to see my hands? You want to see my hands? And so since Jesus showed us his hands, I show my hands, right? And sometimes it looks like this. I'm just saying the Pledge of Allegiance in prayer. You know, sometimes I'm a waiter and I got it up there and I'm carrying it. Sometimes I, like I did just now, I was carrying logs, right? I was worse. I was carrying my logs. Sometimes I get a little worldly, raise the roof, you know, and do that. All right. And as a sports fan, I really get into it. I'm like, touchdown, Jesus, touchdown. You are there, right? And so if I get a little too demonstrative, and if I offend you, Then I offers my very sincerest Demi Lovato apology. Sorry, not sorry. Because nowadays, I came to clap my hands. I came to stomp my feet. I came to sing no word, no word. I came to say what? Amen. That's right. All right. There's a lot of components to our worship service. There's prayer, there's communion, there's singing, and then there's the sermon. And my favorite part is the sermon. I'm an English major, so I've always been a little attracted to words. And so I love listening to sermons. If I'm doing the yard work or working out or driving long distance, I'm listening to a sermon. And so I got to thinking, what's the best sermon I've ever heard? Like, what's the best sermon I ever heard in the history of the Charlotte Church? Okay. And so I thought back, and I've been here for over 20 years, and I've heard a lot of sermons by Ron Drabo. And Ron is a gifted speaker, right? And he's not here today, so I can talk about him. But when Ron speaks, two things always happen. One, he makes me laugh with him or at him. And he makes me cry because he always has this very touching personal stories. But no offense to Ron. Ron has not preached the best sermon ever preached in the history of the Charlotte Church. So what about Rodney? Rodney's a great speaker. I remember when they announced that Rodney was going to come be our lead evangelist. Rodney is going to come be our lead evangelist. I ran to the internet to listen to one of his sermons on love, and I said, Tanisha, baby, you got to hear this man speak. He can preach. He can bring it. I remember one time he talked about David and Goliath and tackling your giants, and I was so fired up after service. I saw Deron Mills and Greg Wacker in the parking lot, and I went to pick up a rock to hit those giants. In Jesus' name, I'm going to throw that rock at you, Deron. But all due respect to Rodney, he's not preached the best sermon ever preached in the history of the Charlotte Church, in my opinion. That sermon, in my opinion, the best sermon ever preached in the history of the Charlotte Church, wasn't on a Sunday. Okay. It was on a Thursday morning when our brother Scott Bowman laid down on a Thursday morning in a hospital bed, and he allowed the doctor to take a kidney out of him and place it into our brother and elder Phil Fisher. That was the best sermon I've ever heard preached. What an amazing act of worship by Scott, right? And if you don't like that one, how about the one by our sister Frances? Just days after the tragic passing of her husband David, when the rest of us would have been too emotionally distraught and torn to even come to church, she not only came to church, but she went downstairs and was serving our babies in Kids Kingdom, her babies. What an amazing sermon and act of worship by Francis, right? Or how about our brother and sister, Jack and Michelle Knuckle? See, every Saturday night, they have a nonprofit called Real Time. And it's very simple, but they pop popcorn, and they set up their movie screen, and they go to nursing homes, they go to hospitals with kids with cancer patients, they go to the Vietnam Veteran Hospital, and they show movies, and they sit down, and they talk, and they worship God through their service of others. What an amazing sermon they preach every Saturday night. What an amazing act of worship. You know, I told you I like sermons, so even when I sat there with my arms crossed for so many years, there was one person who would speak that I would kind of unfold my arms a little bit, because I really liked his way with words, and that was our brother William Scurry. William was a talented wordsmith and gifted by God, and I remember when he was battling cancer, he got up one Sunday to speak. Voice was still a little hoarse from all the surgeries. And he said these that really impacted me. He said, had Jesus not died on the cross, I, William, could not have risen again. Amen. Amen. Had he, Jesus, not died on the cross, I, William, could not have risen again. You see, William used his talents that God gave him. He obeyed the Holy Spirit, and that became his act of worship. Amen. Amen. I have three quick points here today. The first one, we are created to work. And David's kind of already touched on this. Amazing how the Spirit works. We are created to work. Let's look over in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Genesis 2, verse 15 reads, "The Lord God took man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work and to take care of it." You see, we worship a God that works. And we were created in His image. And the very first command that God gave us was to do what? Work the ground. To steward His creation. See, we are designed to work. Work is a good thing. It's part of our relationship with God. The same Hebrew word for work and keep are used later in the Old Testament when commanding the priests to worship God, to keep my commandments. So in a very real way, our work and our worship are connected. Let's look over in Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." So at first, seems a little weird. Offer my body. It's a living sacrifice. What you talk about, Willis? Well, when you think about it, what an amazing way to live. To offer our bodies as our true and proper sacrifice. You see, God sent Jesus and He died on the cross. And because God sent Jesus, we have no other response but to offer up ourselves as our act of worship. That's what Scott did, right? Don't have to turn there, but Proverbs 21:3 reads, "To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice." Point number two, we work for the Lord. We work for the Lord. There's a quote by the lead singer of the rock band Switchfoot. He says, "Worshiping God daily isn't something we do, it's the way we live." We look over in Colossians 3:17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 reads, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through Him." And then a few verses down from that, he says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." As David alluded to, your work matters. You may be right now in your divine assignment. Now, all of us work. Not all of us get paid, and not all of us get paid well, but we all work. School work, yard work, maybe it's your chosen career, volunteer work, but we all work. And because work is such an amazing part of our lives and such a great part of our life, God does not want it to be a source of frustration or drudgery. He wants it to be a source of satisfaction, fulfillment. And this is the fundamental principle as it relates to Christians working. Work for the Lord. Paul over in Ephesians was talking to the slaves, or Christian slaves, in the Roman Empire. And he said, "Rendering service with a good will as to the Lord, not to man." And that principle is simple, but it is profound. And it can transform our view of worship. Or as David put it, our daily worship. See, we work for Jesus. We don't work for the man. We don't work for clients. We don't work just to get to retirement. We work for the Lord. We work to please Him. We work to honor Him. And work is our expression of our worship. So whatever we do, let's do it for the Lord. See, when you don't do it for the Lord and you do it for yourself, or you do it for money, or you do it for fame, you're not creating worship. You're creating your own Tower of Babel. And that doesn't honor God. You don't worship God when you create your own Tower of Babel. Just as a little illustration, I have a video here that my man Scott has queued up for me.
just a florist. Got a small shop. Nothing special. Silly way to spend your life, I guess, fussing with a bunch of flowers. Sometimes I wish I was good at something else. I don't know, a doctor or a missionary, someone who really helps people. I do love flowers. Always had a knack for it. So I do my best to make them beautiful for people. But I know flowers can't change the world. I know I don't make much of a difference. I'm just a florist.
You're not just anything. You're not just a mom. Not just a middle school student or just a retiree. You created for a divine purpose and a divine assignment. Point three, we are uniquely qualified for our work. We are uniquely qualified for our work. As an illustration, let's look over in Exodus 31, verses 1 through 6. Exodus 31, verse 1 through 6. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri," sounds like a Marine, Uri, "the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts." Skip down just a little bit. "Also, I have given ability to all skilled workers to make everything I have commanded for you." You see, Bezalel was a chief artisan charged with helping to create the tabernacle. He had been given the gift of being an artist and was tasked to use his gift to serve God. Specifically, according to this Exodus here in the narrative in Exodus, he was called down by God to direct the construction of the tent of meetings, the sacred furniture, the priest's garments, the oil, the incense, everything required for service. God had indwelled in him this gift, and he was to use his gift, and we are to use our gift, whether it be wisdom, understanding, knowledge, our skills, to do the work that God had laid out for Bezalel. Just as God had endowed our brother William with the gift of words, and he used it to worship and honor God. So in closing, another quote by the lead singer of Switchfoot: "True worship is a whole life response to how great you know God to be. It should be with everything we have, everything we are, and everything you do." You see, what you do at church on Sundays with your hands, that's a matter of personal conviction. But what you do with your hands when you leave here, well, that's a commandment of God. And that will determine your level of worship. And so you can stand back with your hands in your pocket and say, "I'm not going to help out in Kids Kingdom. That's Mike and April. That's their gig. I'm going to let them do that." I'm not going to help out with that hope thing. That's Mike Dames at Prodigy.net. That's his gig. Well, you can cross your arms. Nah, I don't really care about that MMOG. What's throwing axes got to do with worshiping God anyway? I mean, that's just silly. Right? Or you can unfold your arms, take your hands out your pocket, and spread them out wide like Jesus, right? Spread them out wide. Jesus showed us his hands. What are you going to do with your hands? Maybe this week at work, you're a construction worker, and you got to carry something pretty heavy. You're going to carry that load like this, and you're going to worship God like you're carrying your cross. Right? Or maybe you're a doctor or a policeman. Or maybe you're just a student at school saying the Pledge of Allegiance. You're going to go about your day. What are you going to do with your hands? You're going to hold your hands out and worship and serve others. Maybe you're a volunteer, housewife, or maybe at work you have to do something that's not in your job description. You have to put something somewhere. How are you going to lift up the Lord when you're lifting up those boxes? What are you going to do with your hands? It's report card week, guys. I'm a principal. I know this. Report card week. Maybe you do really well on your report card. Or maybe at your job, you do something great and you want to praise God. And you go full-grown touchdown Jesus on them. Use your hands to worship God. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen.
Amen, church. Song 113, please stand as we sing our final song.
Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name.